On today's episode, we talked to Rob Willoughby, who is a master at taking the complex and simplifying it when it comes to holistic health.
Yeah, Rob was a great guest. It was amazing to have him on. And he really goes into detail about his time where he was personal training, working so many hours and become burnt out, and his transformation from that point and how he wanted to help others. So yeah, we really dig into some details about routine, finding a rhythm and simplifying how you live and how it can help you perform better and just level up in all areas. You're going to enjoy this one.
Welcome to the Fail Forward podcast, where Dan and Adnan peel back the onion on our guest stories and on each other, all in an effort to change the narrative of failure. Enjoy the show. Welcome back to the Fail Forward podcast with Adnan and Dan, where we're here to change the narrative of failure. We have with us an incredible guest today, Mr. Rob Willoughby. Why don't you give us an introduction, sir?
Sure, thanks. So I've been in the health and fitness industry for about 10 years now. My journey started as a personal trainer in a gym just outside London. And so that's where I started. I worked there for about a year. And then I was lucky enough to get a job as a coach in a gym in Australia, Melbourne. So that's where I moved to. And it was an awesome experience living there, working with some really high level coaches. I learned a lot. They taught me a lot, and they were good enough to take me under their wing and mentor me. So it's a really good experience. That's where I learned a lot about how I coach now. But then unfortunately, I only had a short-term visa, so I had to move on from there. And I picked Dubai as the next destination. So I got a job here in Fitness First as a personal trainer as well. And then things started to get a bit more challenging. So I started to really overwork myself. And the issue was starting from gym open at around 5:30 in the morning, coaching clients on the gym floor all day until gym close at about 11 o'clock. And then I was expected to do that every day. So my health started to deteriorate a bit as a result of that and started to experience burnout for the first time. So that was a big challenge. And then about maybe 6 months into my job in Dubai, my mom unfortunately got cancer. And then sadly, she passed away a few months later. So that was the first sort of real challenge in my life. And I struggled a bit with that mentally, didn't really know how to deal with it because I'm quite young, living abroad on my own. But I managed to sort of get through that and decided that I needed to leave that job and try something new. So I joined a team of awesome personal trainers here in Dubai, and we were working as freelancers. So we would travel around and coach people at their homes or in their gyms. And that gave me the freedom to work with less clients, but still kind of maintain my same income. So it gave me a bit more freedom to focus on other areas and especially regain control of my own health, because that's something that I had been neglecting in the commercial gym job role. So yeah, that was the sort of the main journey there. And then that kind of naturally transitioned into me wanting to focus on health in a bigger picture. So thinking a more holistic approach, focusing on areas like sleep, exercise, nutrition, and really trying to simplify something as complex as health into a really simple, repeatable process that I could use for myself and then teach that to my clients to help them upgrade their health as well. And that's kind of how I naturally transitioned into a more online-based service, which I'm currently working with my clients now online.
Awesome. Awesome. Rob, you say holistic, and I love that. I'm curious as to what you feel the industry maybe doesn't have currently that the holistic approach provides. Like, is the industry missing something? It sounds like they may be missing the simplification portion.
Yeah. So good question. So the main issue I see is everyone's looking for that one thing or the silver bullet or the magic pill that is going to get them fit and healthy, like quickly without any effort. So it's not really the case. I know like the marketing industry pushes things like that, like 4 week massive body transformations, but it's not really a realistic long-term solution. So my goal is to really try and take each individual pillar of health and then break that down to a few high impact habits that are going to really give them the most bang for their buck and produce like profound results without having to spend as much time as possible on lots of different things that are irrelevant. So focusing on the lowest hanging fruits is my main goal.
I see.
I'm interested, Rob, to go back a little bit to when you're working what seemed like 36-hour days in the gym in Dubai. And I was there in a job that I had back in the UK where I was getting up at 5:30, 6, and I was often finishing at midnight as well. So I can relate and got to a point where I realized I was burnt out as well. Now I remember my feelings quite clearly. How did you know you were burnt out? What were you feeling? How did you get to a point where you thought, oh, something's definitely got to change. This is how I feel. This is what I need to do. How tell us a bit more about that.
I think the obvious sign was when I would fall asleep quite often in like a little storage room we had at the side of the gym. Like we'd take like you would have a cancellation with a client or something. You'd go and try and have a little sleep in there, this little side room that was a secret door from the gym that no one knew about.
Nice.
So that's probably
So
one of
just
the big signs, just needing to sleep. I was still exercising a lot because I had that time, but the recovery wasn't there as well because I not eating enough, not sleeping, so still training hard. So that's was adding to the burnout as such, because I would have
Was
been overtraining for sure at the time as well.
yeah. Was that something that the institution or the company imposed on you, the hours and the workload, or was it something you felt like you were pushing on yourself at that point?
A bit of both. Like the structure that I had is not the best, because so Dan, you'll know more. So the gym was in Business Bay, so it's a very office area. And they would give us our I would have like gym shifts from 9 till 6, but all of my clients were before 9 or after 6. So I'd have my clients in the morning and then have to be in the gym all day for my gym shift, even though no one was in the gym, and then clients after. So it was kind of a bit of both. I had to do those sessions to keep up with like targets and stuff, because they're very sales focused. You had to hit a certain amount of sessions each month to make a good income. So it's pressured to kind of keep up with that.
Yeah. And I can imagine kind of living an independent life away from family, you almost feel a need to kind of want to prove yourself and do the best and compete with the local talent, right?
That's probably one of my problems. I stick at things too long when perhaps sometimes you should move on. Like just determined to stick something out when maybe it's not as necessary as you might think.
That's really interesting. So, would you say that the reason is any particular reason? Is it to do with you want to, is it that you're afraid of failure? Because I've been in that position where I didn't want to fail at something. So I kept going, I kept going, I kept going, and I kept going, and I kept going, and it took something to a point where I actually had health problems where I thought, right, now things have to change. It has to stop. There's a bit of a stigma around it, I think. I saw a meme recently on Instagram, and it was like people at a computer in an office, and then they're all saying above like a speech bubble, who's going to be the first to leave? And everyone's just like still there because they don't want to be the first to leave the office because otherwise they'll be seen that they're not the hardest working. And
We had those conversations in the gym. Like trainers would be in and out all the time, and people were surprised I was sticking around for so long, really, with it as well. Like you'd see people come and go after certain periods of time. So it's tough. But I think you're spot on there, where you're saying at that moment in time, I just didn't want to fail with it, really. So I didn't want to quit.
When you switched over to the freelancing team, which you said was a pretty healthy switch for you, was it that they came to, was it that it came to you? You had to kind of jump into open waters for a little before you found your footing, right? Because that's got to be scary.
So it was quite a good setup with this, actually. I can't remember how I found the company, but they're called Fit Squad. So it's a group of freelance personal trainers, and they provided us clients. So it's quite an easy transition. So I just interviewed for that, started working with them, and they filled my schedule within the first month. So then I just had to maintain that. But because the structure is different, it's not, when you work in a commercial gym, they're taking such a big cut of what the client's paying you. But with this, I was basically keeping 90% of it. So it gave me that freedom to have less clients, but still, and obviously no gym floor structured hours as well. So it's more my own time. You just train your clients. So it was a good setup.
It sounds like win-win in so many ways. Financially, time back, your own boss, controlled hours. Is there anything that was negative? Because it all sounds like it was. I mean, you had to find your own clients, I guess, as well. But.
Yeah. So like 50-50. They would give you, they were very good at the start. They filled my schedule. And then from then, it's your job to kind of maintain and then get some extra clients on your own if you need. But the main downside, I would say, is your income is completely controlled by your clients. So I'd feel so guilty if I went on a holiday because you're not training your clients. All of their payments are delayed and you're essentially not getting paid while you're on holiday. So you start to feel guilty about that. Or perhaps a client gets sick and then they're not going to renew for a while. So it still can be stressful income-wise with that setup because you have that lack of control.
So in this new kind of sphere that you're in about holistic health, I'm guessing that you probably see some common themes across clients on, you know, patches that are hard to overcome or common challenges that some clients face with getting a full holistic, you know, lifestyle. Like, can you talk about that a little bit more? Like what are the common patterns that you see in a lot of people that stop them from living a good, healthy, holistic life?
Yeah, sure. So I've mainly been working with people in the corporate world. So executives, business owners, founders, entrepreneurs. And so I've noticed big similarities between those. And the first thing is the way they're structuring their routine. So not prioritizing things that they know they should be and using lack of time as an excuse. Because we all can make time for what we deem important in life. So it's just a way of first even pulling up their routine in front of me and looking through it together and finding what can change, what shifts can happen to allocate time. Because you don't, like, let's be honest, you don't need to spend that much time on your health to do just okay. Like, you don't need to do much. Obviously, it's different if you want to be a elite peak performer or a elite runner or athlete, but if you just want to be healthy, you don't need to do that much. You just need to do a few things really well and simple and efficiently. So time is definitely the main issue with people at the start.
Yeah.
We've all got the same 24 hours in a day, haven't we? Mm-hmm. And there's a thing that we keep coming back to is choice, and it's what we choose to do with our time in the day. And there's so many things that we get wrong or we decide we need to do that isn't the priority. And like you say, people's health becomes lower down the priority, I think, because it's easier not to do something. So true.
But the interesting thing with that is the small amount of time they invest in their health, they get that back plus more with the increased amount of energy they have, the increase in productivity, they're more efficient at their work. They maybe something that would take them 4 hours, they do in 2 hours because they're so much more energized and focused. So the return on investment is still huge for the small amount of time they invest in their health. So it's just shifting that perception and having that mindset shift is kind of one of the initial things that's important for sure. Because you have to change yourself. Like your identity has to change. You have to become someone that implements these habits on a daily basis.
Yeah.
It's the only way you're going to be sustaining the results long term.
So habits is a great point. Like you always see a lot of people saying, hey, I'm going to start going to the gym or I'm going to start eating healthy. But then something comes up in their lives and it's like, oh, well, we're back to normal. Oh, I had this, you know, work lunch and I ate a ton of burgers and then I'm back to normal. Mm-hmm. And this is something I've also struggled with to try to find an answer. How do you effectively make a change a habit?
Sure. So generally, there's a simple process that I like to do at the start. So first, think about what is the outcome goal that you want to achieve. So what is the actual end result? And generally, this is where people stop. They have their outcome and then they just focus on that. They forget everything else. But then it's what we need to do. Take the outcome goal, create a process to achieve that goal. So each step-by-step process, what do you need to do exactly? And then shifting that to a new identity or a character. So you're kind of designing who you want to become and you know the exact process that needs to be done. And then the last step, you just need a system to track those habits, track those processes that you should be executing on each day. So what I've used in the past is like a Google Sheet, which has all the habits at the top, and we're just tracking that each day. And when my clients use that, I'm viewing that on a daily basis to make sure they're implementing on it. And just naturally, that takes care of those issues because it's something you're visually seeing each day. If you skip a day, it's not the end of the world. Just try not to skip 2 days in a row is the key point there. Never, never skip twice.
Right. So it's I like the difference between almost like the goal versus the thing you want to be. Sometimes the goal can be the thing you want to be, but sometimes it's, hey, I want to be at 6% body fat, or I don't know, I want to, I'm just thinking top of mind, right? Like, hey, I want to be able to cook this meal. But it seems like the way you said it, setting a goal as a single point in time or snapshot isn't as effective as setting a goal as a person or a thing you want to be.
Yeah, exactly. So think about who you're becoming and what that involves, what habits and actions and routines does that person implement on a daily basis? So you need to step into the shoes of that person, and that's gonna help stick to it long term. Because if you're just visualizing this outcome goal of, oh yeah, I want to be 6% body fat, it's not really powerful enough for most people anyway. Like you have to be really dedicated, maybe like a professional bodybuilder or something. Maybe that will keep them to it. But for most people, even just they want to look good on a beach or something is not really powerful enough to stick to it long term for most people.
Do you know what? I wrote this down this morning, and the first thing that stood out for me, two things there was, know yourself first. And that's a hard question for a lot of people to really dig deep and find out, is to really know yourself, who you are right now or who you want to become. And I often say to people, like, this is a recent thing that comes to me, is when you go to make a choice about something you're going to do, think about what the person in 5 years' time is going to think of that choice. Will that choice affect who you're going to become in 5 years' time? And try an avatar, a vision of who you are in the future. And Adnan, we've talked about this before as well. You know, we kind of questioned ourselves on this and said, look, if we got a plan for who we want to be in 5 years, where do we want to get to? And will that person just look at you and go, put that biscuit down. You don't need that biscuit, or don't go out for that extra beer when you've got the gym in the morning, or whatever it might be. And those choices can compound either way, can't it? It can go this way if you're making the right choices, or it can go down if you're making the wrong choices. So know yourself first. That's such good advice. And the other thing was accountability, like you said, you're tracking people's habits. If I was working on this with you, I would make sure that I'd have to keep this up to date daily. Or and you do have days where you're not going to be able to do it, but to have someone there accountable as well, that's so important. So important.
Accountability can be different things, though. It doesn't have to be a coach. It could be, I don't know, family support, a friend, or like what you're doing with your running community. So you have that community and accountability built into it. So if your goal is consistent with your running, you know that those people need to depend on you to do that as a community. So building something like that into your goal is incredibly powerful.
Rob, something that interests me as you're kind of talking about habits more, is almost gateway habits. So one habit that kind of serves as like a breeding ground for more habits. At least for me, that's been waking up at 6 a.m. in the morning. That makes sure that I don't sleep anytime past 10 a.m., which removes all the negative happens that happen at night. And I get a good 2 to 3 hours in the morning to meditate, to call and keep in touch with family. That like sets up my entire day for success. Like, what do you see in your life or in others that are these gateway habits?
I love that. So I like to think of it like a row of dominoes, and you're just deciding which is that first one that if you get that right, that's going to knock over the whole line, and one habit leads into the next. So Generally, I like that you brought up sleep, waking up. That's what I see as well. Like, if you're getting the habit of good sleep, right, that generally leads into positive outcomes in other areas. So, for example, if I have a client and they sleep a few hours late for one night because they've had late meetings or a late work dinner, I know they're going to skip their workout in the morning because of that. They're probably going to eat bad for the next day. They're probably not going to be as efficient at work because they're tired. And that's all happened from that not hitting that first domino of sleeping at the right time.
I have to say
Yeah.
as well, just looking at you on video as well, you look like you've got the right balance. You look like you've got it nailed. You've got a good glow about you. You look like it could be any time of day, whether it's the end of the day or the start of the day. I mean, you must feel like you've got this right yourself. Are there any challenges that you've got going on at the moment? Because you seem like you've got it. You're physically fit, you look like you've got a good, fresh glow about you and the energy that you need. Is there any kind of challenges that you're facing at the moment that you want to work on yourself?
And it's still a work in progress, but thanks. I guess my main goal is to really try and simplify everything as much as possible. So let's take exercise for a while. I used to love training in the gym for hours. It's all I love doing, but now, like, I'm focused on other things as well. I don't want to be spending that much time in the gym. So my goal is, how can I exercise less but still get really good results? So that's kind of the philosophy that I'm taking with each aspect, each pillar of health. So with sleep, I don't want to sleep longer. I'm trying to sleep less, but at a higher level. So better quality instead of extending the duration. So kind of trying to do less, but with better results. That's my general idea at the moment.
Rob, it sounds very much like there are a lot of overlap between you and a guy called Tim Ferriss. I don't know if you know him. He does the 4-hour body and the 4-hour work week. Like, it's all about getting the most bang for your buck from every single thing you do. So how much effort and time do you put on like testing yourself? Hey, this seems interesting. Let me test this. Let me try how it works on me. Is it more efficient?
Sure. So not quite at Tim Ferriss's level. I know
Okay.
he's done a lot of crazy experiments on himself over the year, but hey, maybe one day I'll start getting into those. The most I do tracking wise is like I've got Whoop band at the moment that I've been using. I've used the Oura Ring before. They're both collecting very similar data. They're just packaging it in different ways. But generally, I'm trying not to focus on that too much. I'm only using it at the moment because, for example, when I said I'm trying to sleep less but still get good quality sleep, it's a good to be able to see that sleep data to just see how that's going and things like that, or recovery. But yeah, as experimentation goes, I'm still keeping it quite simple at the moment, trying to simplify things and make them more efficient instead of trying to discover new things. I'm just doing what works at a simpler, more efficient level.
If you could have told yourself, like the younger self, something today to have that person, solve his issues, address things, make the right path earlier or better, like what would you tell that young Rob today?
Change environment quicker, not because the main issues I was having was the overworking. So removing myself from that environment was the only way I was able to fix that issue, regain control of my own health, and then kind of create new opportunities and change my own perception on health as well, and then bring that over to my clients. So I guess changing my environment initially was what led to that. That's what the first domino was.
Going back further then, before your move from the UK, perhaps you were there before going to Australia. What made you change your environment there to get to where you are now? And how's that benefited you as well?
From England to Australia, I think that was more just experiences too. So I traveled Southeast Asia for a bit on the way. So for like 6 months, not working, just new experiences, meeting new people. And then, yeah, when I got to Australia, I was applying for jobs in gyms, and then it was quite challenging at the start because they didn't want to employ people on the temporary visa, which I had. But after lots of perseverance, I managed to get a good one in a really good gym. They kind of thought that I was going to find my own visa, I think, eventually to stay on long term. But so managed to get in. I was a bit lucky with that, but definitely took advantage of the opportunity. But yeah, I guess going back then, the change of environment was more to have new experiences, see new things, as I was still quite young there, as opposed to escaping the issues I was having before.
I mean, it's obvious that being in Dubai helped you get where you are now. But this is something that I always think about is travel really expands your perception of the world and like potentially even who you could be. I'm curious to what extent has like be spending time in Australia and spending in time in Dubai has not only given you the job and the role that you now have, but expanded like your view of the world and the way you interact with people as well.
Yeah, good question. Definitely by just interacting with different people, especially the different cultures we get to speak to, you get to see more of what's going on in the world. Especially being in the health industry, I get to understand what people's diets are like in different areas of the world, and you notice there's certain regions where people struggle a bit more with certain things, or America have their own set of problems, or maybe Indian diet has other sets of problems for people. So you kind of get a wide spectrum of knowledge and experience with that. So definitely a bit eye-opening with that. And then just networking and meeting new people, it's definitely takes you out of your comfort zone by traveling a bit more instead of just staying at home.
So, any advice to people out there that, changing environment, traveling, definitely 100%. I mean, we can all vouch for that, having done it. It broadens the mind, and you do. You change as a person. I think it's one of the best things you could possibly do. And I had that advice when I was younger from a family member, and I can vouch for that now and say I would say it to anyone else. It's a good thing. It's a healthy thing. Change environment. Going back to diet as well, so that's an interesting sort of topic we've not sort of covered yet. So what, talk to us about your views on dieting, and then perhaps we can look at what you would say would be an ideal diet, having experienced other cultures, and tell us a bit about that.
Sure. So again, going back to simplicity, I love simplicity. I'm not really a big fan of all the there's a new fancy diet with a new fancy name coming out every other week. And at the end of the day, the fundamentals of what humans should eat and thrive with haven't really changed over the years. Yes, we're all slightly different person to person, and you need slightly different food, or foods are going to impact you in different ways. But generally, we're overcomplicating food, and it's not really enjoyable anymore for people. They're worried about, I need to, should I eat this? Should I not? Oh, I feel guilty because I had too much. So really coming back to the basics with it, there's generally two sort of high impact tips and habits for nutrition that I like to focus on with my clients. So first is understanding that you really are what you eat. So if you put garbage into your body, you're going to get garbage out. You're not going to perform well. You're not going to have energy. You're not going to feel good. So first step is to understand what foods are going to be best for you. And this can be personal and just through some trial and error as well, by seeing how you feel. And then the second step is, I'm big with time restrictive eating. So some people call it intermittent fasting, something along those lines. So generally, our bodies aren't designed to be eating from the minute you wake up to the minute you go to sleep. Like throughout history, that's not been the case. It's only in more recent history where we have access to refrigerators, supermarkets, we've got this constant influx of food. And that's when a lot of our health issues have come about. So generally, by restricting that down to a smaller window, it can be 12 hours, so 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And then you can gradually reduce that maybe to 10 hours. And that just gives you a bit more consistency, and it gives your body a break so you can fully digest food and maintain a rhythm with that.
You said it gives your body a break. That's interesting because I haven't heard that before. What I've heard usually about intermittent fasting is that it allows your body to get almost into a fasted state where it gets more alert and it moves more towards like a ketogenic form, right? But it's almost like you're giving your digestive system a rest, is what you're saying.
Yes, so exactly. So digesting food takes a lot of energy from the body. Yeah. It's not an easy process for the body. So if you're continuously digesting food at random times throughout the day with no structure, your body doesn't know what's going on. So our body loves rhythm. Okay, so the more consistent you are with that, the better. And then you give your body a chance to clear your gut without new food coming in. So think about it in the, say, like evening time comes around. So your body is stopped digesting food and you're ready for bed, assuming you haven't eaten too late. But then if you eat a late meal, suddenly your body's not expecting that. So the processes that are meant to happen at that time of your body are then put on hold because you need to digest the food. That make sense? Yeah. So the body loves rhythm, and the better you can stick to that, the better you're going to be able to function and perform.
Yeah, I find that
That's it.
incredibly interesting. The fact
I
that your
do.
body, the body loves rhythm. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah. So there's we have the circadian rhythm. So it's basically your internal body clock, and the better that is aligned. So generally, we have a cycle with the sunrise and sunset, and the more aligned we can be to that, the better, really. So two key things for that is a regular sleep schedule and then regular meal timings. So if you focus on those two things, your rhythm is going to be more aligned and more efficient.
Do you try to
Nice.
also time your, sorry, do you also try to time when you have high intensity workouts?
Ideally, yes, but I would say food and sleep schedule is the priority with that. Just the main thing, if you're going to have a high intensity workout, is to not do that too close to bedtime. So main thing, your body temperature is going to be elevated, and that's going to impact sleep quality as well.
I
So
see.
maybe high intensity workouts earlier on in the day.
Have you ever worked with any military clients before?
I have, one ex-military.
How
He
was
had moved
that?
into the business world after. So it's interesting. So his initial mentality was throughout the army time, it was sleep is for the weak. He said that right from the start. But he had understood, that's why he started with me, because he understood that that's not the case. But it was interesting to hear, like, that's the real mentality. They used to all say amongst themselves, sleep is for the weak. And then now he's in the business world. He's realized that's not the case. If he's not sleeping well, he's can't run his multiple companies and perform at his best.
What about diet as well and food? Because I know from working with the military for a couple of years in catering, and the diet they had, the diet the military had, this was mixed tri-services, Army, Navy, and RAF, all pretty much the same. Three meals a day without fail, good amounts of protein, carbohydrates, vegetables. But I mean, we mixed up the menu choices and things, and it all had to go through this really specific process of, seven different bodies of who was getting involved with, certain diets and things. But it was all based around three meals a day, the breakfast being the most important meal of the day, which has always been said. But what you're saying sort of contradicts that as well, with intermittent fasting. And I wonder why they've not got, researched that anymore, and why that, or whether it will become more of a thing in the future, maybe, just to be able to get that high performance and.
So it's definitely becoming a more popular thing. So my fast isn't very long. So the typical intermittent fasting protocol that people would follow is 18 hours fasting, and then they've got their eating window. Sorry, 16 hours and then 8 hours eating. That's the kind of common ground. But for most people, they can keep their window between 12 and 8 hours is fine. So 12 hours is only slightly off your typical schedule anyway. It's just stopping people from eating the minute they wake up to the minute they go to sleep. So less chance of overeating as well as it. And just having that structure. If you know, eat from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. and then you're not eating either side of it. So it's good just to have that structure as well as a psychological thing as well.
There's also such a mental health benefit to having structure. I've heard a couple of different speeches by a lot of clinical psychologists, but literally one of our most recent podcast guests said, if you give yourself a structure and a routine, it's not really a question about should I or should I not eat that cookie. It's the decision has already been made. We're having this for lunch at this time for the next whatever days or weeks. So there's just so many benefits. Yeah. Like you're removing the element of the paralysis of choice.
Yeah, just press start and go. But so I love routines, but I feel like they need to be adaptable at times as well. They can't be too rigid. And that's sometimes where people would fall off if their routine is too structured. Maybe something happens or they travel and then they can't have their perfect routine. So, but they don't know how to adapt it because they haven't thought about that. So I think that's definitely a important element to it as well. So having a structured routine, but having that adaptability there as well for when things occur.
So what do you tell us more about, Rob, your free time? Do you get any free time? What are your interests, any hobbies, apart from going to the gym and just generally being a badass, helping people and, you know, achieve their goals? What kind of goals have you got outside of what you do?
To win golf competitions. But yeah, lots of golf at the moment.
Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so growing up, I used to always play golf as a junior and then kind of stopped that before I went travel to Australia as well. So I never played there. And then when I got to Dubai, too busy at the commercial gym, so didn't play then. And then once I had the time again, once I left that, I joined a golf club here, which has been great to network as well and meet new people. So, you know, living in a new country, it can be hard at times to meet people. So it's definitely been great for that. And then also just to have some competition back in my life. So training towards that, we have a club team and we play against other clubs across the UAE. So yeah.
So a good place to offload as well, from by the sounds of it. Like you say, Dubai could be a lonely place. You know, you're working all the time. You want to find that sort of place to be able to. And Adnan and I were talking about with a guest recently as well, where for me, it's running. For Adnan, it's, yeah, I think, running as well. It's just our way of opening up about the day, if it's gone badly or if it's just a way to, you know, express how you feel. Or but it sounds, yeah, like, yeah, so golf's that kind of outlet for you, I guess, as well, just, yeah, to be able to take your mind,
yeah,
off
definitely
things.
yeah or even like in the afternoon, want to have a break, go and play a bit. So it's good.
So yeah, just going for a walk. But golf spoils a good walk. That's the oh, it's moving.
Yeah, well, my dad that's and my the problem out here. We don't.
But it doesn't spoil a good walk for you because you're a scratch golfer. So golf doesn't spoil a good walk for you. If anything, it's just...
I think if anything though, it makes more frustrated. The better I've got, it's like you hold yourself to a higher standard. Mm-hmm. So like, I hit a good shot and I'm annoyed because it's not like really good.
That's a good mentality. Like keep pushing yourself to be even better, right?
Yeah, I think
But it's like with the routine, right? You, and this is something I struggle with sometimes, is like wanting to be a very strong-minded person in everything you do, but also knowing that, wait, I can't just go all out on all cylinders all the time. It's like, okay, yeah, I did a good job. Well, I want to do more. Oh, I did even better. I want to do more. And it's like, there's your burnout.
Yeah. So managing energy is a big one. Yeah. So knowing how to use that energy and not avoiding any opportunities to recover as well is a key one.
Focusing that energy on the right things as well, the right people, the right tasks. You know, there's no point focusing all that energy that you have and you're going in, you're talking to people and it's, do you know what? It's draining. Using your energy up to just be that positive personal time and just trying to pick people up. And by the end of it, I come away. I teach rugby. I don't teach rugby. I wouldn't even call it coaching rugby, but I work with under fours for a coaching club on a weekend. And the amount of energy I put into just running around trying to like herd cats in the morning of like 15 little 4-year-olds. And I'm putting so much energy into it. And I mean, this isn't perhaps the best example, but at the end of it, I'm just like, I'm literally want to lie down and have a sleep because there's so much energy that goes into that short burst of time. But I think, yeah, using that's a good reason to use that kind of energy. But there's other times where you can be in conversation with people, very negative, and you're wasting energy as well.
Yes, we can view energy as like a currency. So it's up to us how we spend that. Make conscious decisions about what you're spending your energy on, not using it all up, and letting it recover when you need it to.
Rob, what do you have going on in the next like year or 2 years you want to share with us, with the listeners as well? We'd love to hear it.
Yeah, sure. So where I'm at currently is the coaching one-to-one online, and that's kind of gradually filling up, and that's going to be taking up more and more time. So the next step would be I want to release a like a digital coaching product or a course. So it's going to condense everything down into a self-paced course that's going to be simple for people to follow, and then probably have a community along the side of that. So where we're all working through it together, supporting each other, rooting for each other. So I think that'll be a powerful way to provide more accountability, and then we can all just help each other as well, improving with our health, our performance, and the other things we've got going on in life.
Sounds cool. That sounds like a mastermind. That sounds like you're with elite groups of people, top performing, that you're helping, and you must get a lot from that as well. You must be able to learn a lot from.
That's the goal, yeah. Because at the moment I'm working with individuals. Yeah, there's a bit of networking between those, but I want to bring that into a community, whether that's going to be higher level or executive teams, or I'm undecided yet who to focus that on, but definitely some kind of community to all support each other. And probably a bit selfishly from me as well, to, like you say, to interact with those people that are doing great things as well.
It's why we do the podcast. We getting to meet people like you and have one-to-one conversations that we wouldn't anywhere else. But we get so much value from this that, the amount of notes that we take after these conversations, it's improving our lives, but also our listeners' lives as well. So they're listening to this, and did you hear the podcast? This is some of the habits, and everyone's inspiring each other, and that's so important. And it's like you, it's not selfish. You're benefiting from being around these people. You're learning. You're giving back as well. And then they're gonna, you're gonna pass an information down and inspire and motivate other people to do the same. So I think, yeah, that's amazing. It's awesome.
It's incredible. It's Dan, it's crazy. I had literally just had someone text me and said that our last podcast episode made them cry. So I can't imagine how listening to this one will at least help a couple, if not way more people, rethink their own habits and change their lives. So that's what excites me.
100% true. I mean, I had a conversation with someone yesterday, and Rob, some of the things you've spoken about already, it's like timing's everything sometimes. I think when you speak to people, and then the next thing you have these conversations, people are going to listen. It changes lives. And I don't think I've said this before, it's not our responsibility to change people's lives and put them on a certain path. But if you act as a guide to be able to show people, these are the choices that will change your life, and then let them make those choices. I mean, it's a big thing, big responsibility.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
So I
Robbins,
think
yeah, go ahead.
kudos to you, dude. No, that's it. I just think, yeah, kudos to you for everything you're doing. And yeah, thank you for sharing your story and everything with us, all the tips and tricks. And where can people find you as well? Tell people, our listeners, yeah, where they can reach out to you as well as
Sure.
another go-to.
LinkedIn is the place where I'm at the moment most. So yeah, if you just link that one, that'd be good. LinkedIn's the best place to find me.
Awesome.
Well, thank you
Are you on
so much.
Instagram as well, Rob?
I'm not actually, so 100% focused on LinkedIn at the moment.
Oh, and you're
So
consistent as well. I've noticed that you are smashing out the content day in, day out. It's decent content as well, and you're consistent with it. And that's a hard thing to do as well. So good on you for that. I hope that,
yeah,
continues to
I'm
grow.
posting daily, so that's been a it's been a good experience with that. definitely makes you think each day about what you're going to post. But I'm trying to I just create a big batch of content as well, so it's got something to go out daily to provide some value is the goal.
Awesome, dude. I'll tell you what, I'm gonna ask you one last question that's gonna
Sure.
leave our guests, with one last question from you, and that is, if you had to give a 30-second speech to the world, what would it be?
Ooh, good question. Make the complex simple. So whatever you decide you want to do, whether it's improving your health or any other areas, decide what the process is, simplify it, remove all the fluff that you don't need to, that's irrelevant, that's going to have a minimal impact. Get really good at the basics and master those.
Epic.
Love
Rob,
it.
you're a legend.
Thank you so much,
Thanks,
Rob.
guys.
Thank you for the time. And yeah, we appreciate you being on the pod and sharing your story with us and, sharing a lot of the precious gems and nuggets you've learned through the process.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening. Leave us a review. Tell us what you think. Find us at Instagram, failforward.pod. If you know someone that wants to be on the show, or if you want to be on the show, give us a shout, DM us, or see you soon.